proving that movies about talking animals always make money. The Madagascar series produced 4 successful theatrical films, despite the fact that no one for a single moment noticed. That list includes Madagascar Escape to Africa, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, I'm Sean Collier. I'm here with Robin Capulet.
Forsooth.
And Camila Montague.
Yep.
I know.
Yep.
One of those words that was coined by Shakespeare. Yup.
Yeah, probably.
True Shakespearean.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was Romeo plus Juliet last time. 76 2/3 was our rating. Exactly as good as The Martian.
Really? Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. I guess The Martian is one of those movies that is way better than you remember it being. Like, I don't remember what score I gave it, but I know that I've seen it twice, and both times I was like, good movie. But now I'm like, The Martian was a thing, huh?
Yeah, I remember being impressed by it. Like, because I went in with very low expectations with The Martian.
Yes,
and came
me
out
too.
Thinking like, oh, all right.
I enjoyed this.
Yes.
Whereas Romeo plus Juliet is the opposite. You go in thinking, this is going to be great.
Right.
And then it steps down from great. But it's still good. 1/3 of a point better than The Good Son.
Really?
That's my fault.
You sank The Good Son?
Yeah. Sorry. One of my students told me last week, they started listening to our podcast and they were like, I really like how often you all agree and disagree. Like when we have different scores, but it's like, but you're correct.
Right.
I'm going to give it an 80. You gave it a 40, but we're both right. Right.
I don't think so, even though I do. That's these are the strong. I remember when we started You Can't Handle the Truth, the podcast, not the segment on this podcast. Part of it was like, oh, it'll be so lively and dynamic when we really disagree. And then that just never happened.
Really?
I mean, it's very rare that you get two people who see a lot of movies, or 3 people who see a lot of movies, to wildly diverge on something. Right?
I think if we were to dig into our own personal movie collections, like if we had like a special month or something, say, and we all like bring our own film that's not on the list.
A May miniseries, perhaps?
That's not on the list. I wonder, and then, you know, we all have to watch them. I wonder how much the dynamic, because, you know, I mean, all these movies went to number one in the box office, so had to have been for a reason at some point.
Right. Well. They have some kind of mass appeal of which we are 3 members.
Right.
We're 3 members of various masses.
Here's my pitch. If we hit 3 negatives in a row, 3 below water ratings.
Is that 50?
Under 50.
Okay.
Yeah, in a row. That triggers, it's time for a break.
Okay.
And the next 2 or 3 are non-nomias that we just...
We make the rules as we go on this show. So let's say that we're going to wait till we have 3 in a row, 3 underwater in a row, and then we're going to decide what kind of treat we get.
Yeah, I know what my next 3 movie scores are going to be.
just give 3 ones and...
We have to have integrity.
It'll certainly start today.
All 4 of these went into theaters?
There are 4 theatrical movies. We'll get to it, but yeah, they did
also
4 of them.
Surprised me.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about? Because there's nothing to say.
This is going to be a short episode.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of, you can't tell the truth. This movie's fine. I'm not going to be above water on it. But like when we talked about the Mario movie, I was like, listen, if you want to go to a quiet place with your child for a few hours, this would be a really great treat. Mm-hmm. If I saw this movie with children, I would have felt totally fine with how I spent those 80 minutes.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Kaji was like, I mean, she was into it for maybe like 20 minutes. And she like starts dancing around when, you know, the music, when there's music to dance to. But pretty much there was something that was sinister happening that she found amusing. And I was like, okay, this is my kid.
Yeah, it is.
Speaking of sinister, I just want to start with one thing. A child is murdered in the opening seconds of this film, correct?
Murdered?
The child who is fishing off the moon in the DreamWorks logo.
That's a corporate logo. That is not literally a...
Is it a moon, like, god? Is it some kind of entity?
I think it's the penguin that takes him.
Yeah, it's murdered.
I see it as more of a golem, some kind of a DreamWorks...
I was absolutely taken aback. And what's crazy is I don't normally pay attention at that moment in time.
I literally rewound because I thought I was hallucinating. I was like, that couldn't be what I just saw. But it is what I just saw. And I guess we can argue about whether or not that little moonfisher is an actual human child. But it was still really,
it was a much out the gate.
There's peril. This probably is rated PG for intense peril. Plane crashes and volcanoes. And
have either of you seen the original Madagascar?
Has anyone in this room ever seen a Madagascar before this week?
I saw the first one.
Okay.
I have not.
Ages ago. I don't know why I saw it.
It seems like the kind of thing that might just be on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because I have very little memory of it.
So my understanding is that they are zoo animals who they escaped the zoo.
I think it was accidental. They got on a plane or something. They wanted a vacation because they're the zoo animals who are always performing.
Right.
And then they got on a plane somehow. I don't remember how. And they ended up in Madagascar.
Right.
And they got stranded.
Now, I don't know anything about Madagascar, except for that it is a large island in Africa. Either. The other thing I know is it's huge. It's like the size of California. The animals that are in Madagascar, the movie, do they live in Madagascar? Or when they showed up in Madagascar, was it like, what is a lion?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't think.
I should have looked this up.
I think it has. It's practically a continent, right?
Right. I mean, it's the size of California.
It's got to have its own.
Bigger than California. Yeah.
I know that you get lemurs there.
They have lemurs and no one else does. And that kind of makes me think that maybe they don't have all of the giraffes, lions, hippos, and zebra. Sorry.
What?
Go on.
In South Africa, you call them zebra, and it comes out of my mouth sometimes. Mm. I also say Z instead of Z sometimes. Sorry. Anyway, my guess is that they wouldn't live on Madagascar. Otherwise, lemurs would live on Africa.
I think if lions are around, you don't have lemurs around for very long.
That's also that. Although I guess the lemurs are scary in this movie. The penguins are the true villains. They're the child murdering creatures.
Well, they're kind of the chaos agents.
Yeah.
But the penguins killed the child in the beginning. The lemurs are more like plutocrats.
That lemur who's, I don't know, he's a god or something, or he thinks he's a king. I don't know. I don't completely understand. But I also would, I guess, since their reaction to all of the other animals like them on when they get to Africa, maybe they were special, quote unquote, Madagascar.
This is three people speculating about an 85-minute movie that we easily could have watched. What do you think happens in that one?
No, but Camila, you're totally right. The whole plot where all of the zebras are exactly the same would have already come up.
Right. Yeah.
Which, what was that plot? Let's do the plots. Camila, so we can talk about the things that happened.
Why not tell people?
Else has to go through this for the second Madagascar.
Either you haven't seen this movie, or if you did, you still need this because it's not like you remember it. I have never paid less attention to a movie on this podcast. I'm not saying I never have my phone or folded laundry or what. My eyes might have been on the screen for 25 combined minutes of this experience. I get it. I know what we're doing here.
Because that's how I was feeling too. And I was like, I'll just put it on and I can go about my business. Yeah. I was like, shit, it's my recap.
So with that caveat, here's Camila Adams with a recap of Madagascar Escape to Africa. And Go.
Pretty traumatic opener with the lion cub getting kidnapped by humans and then lost at sea. He washes up in New York, grows up to be the showman Alex at the Central Park Zoo. Quick recap of the first movie. The lion, zebra, giraffe, and hippo are leaving Madagascar and going back to New York, but the plane crashes in Africa. They come across human vacationers and Alex fights an old lady. They come across herds of other animals living in the reserve and they are shocked. Alex finds his long-lost parents and everyone else finds their own tribe, so to speak. Alex's dad is the alpha and he needs to pass a rite of passage in order to stay in the pride. Alex does. He accepts, but he thinks it's a dance off, not a fight to the death. He loses and gets banished, so his mom and dad also leave the pride. The other animals also find a crisis. Marty isn't special. Melman is dying from witch doctor disease. Gloria is dating a narcissist, and the penguins steal the humans' cars. Water's drying up, so Alex and Marty go off the reserve to unclog the pipe. Melman is going to be a sacrifice for the water gods. The lost humans are hunting Alex and Marty. Alex's dad tries to save him, but Alex saves them both by dancing his ass off for the humans. They unclog the pipe. Gloria saves Melman from being sacrificed. Now they go together. Alex and his dad are back in the pride, and they hang out in Africa a while.
Not quite, which is shocking. Why'd you say all that?
I tripped up a lot. I don't know.
Although you did remind me of several subplots that I forgot about.
And I also, and I completely left out most of the penguin shenanigans. And,
yeah, that's true.
So the fourth movie is that the penguins got a spinoff.
The fourth movie is a spinoff.
And I have to say, I'm slightly interested in this penguin movie now that I know that they're serial killers.
They are maniacal. Is this one of the things I didn't pay attention to, or why did they think that the giraffe was dying?
Because they had another witch doctor who had a brown spot on him, and he thought, just assumed that, you know, this was his death. So he went off to a dying hole. Yeah. And they didn't see him again.
I do like the dying hole.
Me too.
The dying hole was very amusing.
And they didn't see him again.
And then
and they just assumed he died.
Ross is like, I'll be your doctor. And then they're like, okay. And then they're like, wait a second. You also have a brown spot. This must be a disease that kills witch doctors.
Right. Because they're like, what, Wednesday he was here with a brown spot? He wasn't here anymore.
Is the joke that the previous doctor wasn't a giraffe and giraffes are covered in brown spots?
No, because he doesn't die.
He comes back at the sacrifice rave.
And then he goes, I just remembered I always had a brown spot. I'm a giraffe.
He's like, I'm covered in brown spots. Yes. But there was still no explanation as to where he was.
Okay.
That part really cracked me up. Like his entrance at the rave.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess we should get to the...
Seriously, like the two things, this is the sacrificial rave and the fucking dying hole with the little draft.
I have to admit, I think the main thing that I did find genuinely amusing was Motomoto and Will.i.am's performance generally.
The whole Jada trying to get laid subplot worked.
Like, that's the best part of the movie, in my opinion. I want more for that character. I want her to have more going on than just this,
right.
But that was the most entertaining part of the movie.
Yeah. The farther this gets from a point, the better it is.
Yes, 100%.
You know, like some of the side business with the lemurs and the penguins works. Generally, Ross and Jada work.
Yeah.
But like the main stuff. Lion King, absolutely not. No, no.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin.
Apparently, he was originally going to play himself, like...
He wasn't?
Instead of Discount Scar?
Yeah, like he was going to play a human, not himself, he was going to play a human that was trying to start a preserve or something and evil about it, and then they convinced him to be a...
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Let's go to the Faxi segment. The Faxi segment says, no one cares. Okay, so there we go. Anyway. Oh, fine. Released November 7th, 2008, the 35th number one movie of the year, won its opening weekend with $63.1 million, beating Role Models in second place, $19.1 million, and the debuting Soul Men, also starring Bernie Mac, also posthumous, number six, $5.4 million. Only a 1 week number one movie in America, lost the following week to the debuting Quantum of Solace, which was the worst name for a major franchise picture until Indiana Jones and the Doodad of Whatever.
Was that a Bond movie?
Quantum of Solace was the follow-up to Casino Royale. Okay. So it's the second Daniel
Craig. Just to be clear, Quantum of Solace is a terrible title. I think Dial of Destiny is a cute title.
The Thingy of Fate. this was successful. 6 weeks in the top 10. That did go over Thanksgiving, so made some money there. $180 million, the eighth top grossing film of the year.
Wow.
Made more than Quantum of Solace, made more than Sex and the City, made more than Mamma Mia, made more than Marvel's The Incredible Hulk, the Edward Norton one we don't talk about. None of those did as well as Madagascar 2. So, yes, there are three mainline Madagascar movies and one spinoff. The original, 2005, $193.5 million. This one, then Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, in 2012. That was the big hit, $216.3 million. The spin-off, Penguins of Madagascar, that didn't do as well, $83.8 million, the only one not to earn its budget back domestically. There are also a staggering 17 total seasons of three different Madagascar series.
I'm sorry, what?
You said 17 seasons, 17 not episodes.
Seasons.
Wow.
Between the Penguins of Madagascar, All Hail King Julian, and Madagascar A Little Wild, the latter of those went all the way to June of 2022.
Like, is Sacha Baron Cohen doing
television? No, none of the actual stars comes from television, but yeah, okay. Absolutely not.
Listen, voice acting is something you could bang out in an afternoon, so I never say never, right?
As a matter of fact, allegedly Chris Rock and Ben Stiller both got done in one day on this film. Did one day in the studio.
Wow, for the entire film.
Probably made a good bit of money doing it.
Right.
So they spent more time going to the premiere than they did making the movie.
Good for them.
Yeah, sure. Why
but
the hell
that also might explain why Chris Rock doesn't have a close bond with Jada Pinkett Smith, even though he worked with her in three movies.
I don't think
they ever saw each other.
I don't think they ever ran into each other.
Maybe shook hands one time.
At the premiere. Right. Did like the hover hand photo op, and that was it. Jeffrey Katzenberg has threatened that there's a Madagascar 4 coming.
I like how you say threatened.
Yeah. No one has mentioned it since 2017. That's probably dead. This is the second time in three episodes that Willow Smith has shown up for one of her parents.
Yeah.
When it's the young version of the hippopotamus in the flashback at the zoo, that's Willow playing the hippo.
Oh, really? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, they all have young voices for a minute. And it's one of Ben Stiller's kids, too.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. No Madagascar film has been nominated for Best Animated Feature at the Oscars. But the three main ones have all been nominated at the Critics' Choice Awards. I'm sorry. all before I showed up, so, you know. The original lost to Wallace and Gromit, Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Also the Oscar winner.
This one lost to WALL-E.
Also the Oscar winner.
Picture that. WALL-E is playing in cinemas, a masterpiece of speculative fiction, now in the Criterion Collection.
Oh, wow.
And DreamWorks is like, this'll do.
Counterpoint, counterpoint. You're fat.
That is the eventual plot of WALL-E, but...
Yes. So you could go see WALL-E and feel like shit, or you could go see this movie that has a whole song about how great fat people are.
That's true.
Hippos, but still. Right.
Which is, for me, counterbalanced by the presence of Move It, Move It. One of the clearest indicators of the world that whatever you're experiencing is going to be bad. If you're hearing Move It, Move It, whatever's going on is terrible.
I have to say that I am giving at least 5 extra points to this movie because of the minor key versions of Move It, Move It that play in the background at various points. They, like, make very serious score music out of Move It, Move It. I like it.
The third film, another Critics' Choice nominee, lost to Wreck-It Ralph. Shout out to Bernie Mac. Two of his three posthumous movies came out this day.
Damn.
With his voice role in Madagascar 2 and Soul Man. Not his final role. He was in Old Dogs, which is one of them motorcycle movies.
Yeah.
That came out a full year later. Yeah, I rolled my eyes literally several times. I don't usually do that. It's one of those things that you say eye roll much more than you actually eye roll. Watching this, there
what
were literal eye rolls. I probably should have written it down.
Okay.
It seemed like if a fist fighting grandma counts as one of the highlights, you got a bad movie. If you're like, yeah, that was pretty good when the grandma punched the guy.
That was so unnecessary. My problem is Ben Stiller. I can take him in like 10 minutes at a time. Like, it's just too much.
What he cannot do, I think Ben Stiller is great. Listen, the Ben Stiller show, the sketch show, like is part of why I am the way I am. So like he gets a lot of leeway for me, but he's not very good at real emotions.
Right.
And I mean, with like the exception of the Royal Tenenbaums, and I think that that was a gift of like perfect marriage between his style and the writing and also good, you know, direction and editing. Mm-hmm. I don't think he is an actor. And now that I know he did this in an afternoon, I don't think he was like, let me get another take on my line to my fake Mufasa about, you know, my feelings about being the alpha lion. Like, it just, all of the parts of this movie that are meant to have any kind of emotional heft are so bad.
Yeah. For the first time, Camila shrugged and went,
Do you disagree, or are you just like, I don't even know what you're talking about?
No, like, I don't disagree. I'm just like, yeah. I mean, like, like literally, like, what, like, coming into this, I'm just like, what are we going to talk about where this movie is concerned?
I turned it off. I put it on Sunday and turned it off because it was Mother's Day, and I was like, oh, he's going to have a tearful reunion with his long-lost parents. And I was like, and I can't handle that emotionally.
Boy, were you wrong.
And then it was just the most benign, like, how can you make a movie where somebody who was lost as a baby is reunited with their parents and it doesn't actually generate any feelings?
Right, it didn't go over at all. Like, there was more emotion in the him getting his whoopee back or whatever.
Yes, right, you're whatever. So right.
That went on forever.
Also, birthmarks aren't hereditary.
Is that true? I feel like it comes up a lot in films.
I think it's more of a, it comes up in films like, I know you are my baby because you have like woman king style, spoilers. Like, I recognize you, but that didn't they mark. Both have the
No, they both mark? Had identical birthmarks.
Yeah, they like could have done it with the, just, oh, you have Africa on your paw. That can't be very common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say, I like how there's Madagascar in on his paw, because when I lived in Africa, like, you know, they sell tons of things that just have Africa on them. And when I moved away, I wanted a t-shirt with Africa on it. But Madagascar is part of Africa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted one that had Madagascar on it. And it was hard to find.
And knowing that now, I don't know if I've ever really thought about it, but the title of this movie, what? Escape to Africa?
Yes, it's slightly redundant.
You guys were already...
You were there.
It's like being in Pittsburgh, Escape to Cranberry.
It's all very tortured. Like, okay, let's go back to the top. They're from the zoo. They're going somewhere. They want a vacation.
Yeah,
that's the first movie's problem. Yeah.
But they end up in Madagascar, thus giving the franchise its title. Mm-hmm. Even though... I don't know how much Madagascarian culture is represented in the film.
We don't know. There's lemurs. That's all we know.
It feels like a weird naming thing.
Like the whole thing in itself.
Yeah.
Yes, like, I guess the comparison would be Pittsburgh, escape to Pennsylvania if we went to Philadelphia.
Well,
sorry, that was a huge insult to Pittsburgh.
I mean, but wouldn't animals or... out of the zoo be a better name for this franchise than the island nation where they ended up accidentally in the first movie and then apparently never went again?
Yeah. Probably.
So yeah, they get on a plane and then they crash and then the Thurn is in Europe. I don't know. It's okay.
I
also hate their dumb faces. They got dumb faces.
Okay. I actually think that the character design is one of the better things about the movie because it isn't the same as everything else.
Except previous Dream. I mean, it's just long Shreks. They all got stretchy Shrek heads.
It looks so much better than Shrek, though.
I think Shrek looks better.
Okay. I can't make sense. I can't make heads or tails out of this plot. There's something about Antarctica.
Just doing research.
There's something about Antarctica thrown in there with the penguins and shooting tranquilizer guns or something. I think they thought they were going to Antarctica first on vacation, and then the penguins take over the ship, and then they end up in Madagascar.
They thought they were going to Antarctica on vacation? Yeah. Also, wait a second. Antarctica, you can get to Antarctica faster. They went around Africa.
From New
from
York.
From New York, yeah. You should just go straight down. You'll get there.
I mean, I've been on plenty of flights that go through Denver to get to Florida. It happens.
Exactly. I mean, they just couldn't get a direct.
Yeah.
They couldn't. Fair enough.
Madagascar is the world's fourth largest island. I'm just looking up fun facts about Madagascar. There's 26.2 million population. That's more than I would have thought.
That's a huge population.
And they're called Malagasy's. If you're from there, you're
did
a Malagasy.
That demonym.
Was not discovered until 500 AD, like by humans. There were really? No humans there until 500 AD.
That must have been really exciting.
Look at this. Paradise for wildlife lovers and birders.
I think David Schwimmer was a good choice for this giraffe.
I was annoyed with how much I enjoyed David Schwimmer. Like, yeah. I wasn't mad at him. I also recently rewatched an episode of Friends involving We Were on a Break, and like, you know what? You were on
they
a break.
They were on a break.
Yes. Thank you. Like, I've been saying, I was like, Rachel, you flat out said, let's take a break.
Right.
And he's like, okay, or whatever, and just leaves and sulks.
And you had the opportunity to set parameters of what a break means to you, and you did not do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with my current, like, pro David Schwimmer era, but I'm there.
It's, I'm very sympathetic because, you know, when I first started watching Friends, which is very recently, Mary Beth asked, so which one do you think you are? And I was like, I'm kind of a Chandler. And she's like, shut up. You're a Ross.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. What?
And later related this to my parents. And my dad, who does not really watch the show, was like, oh, he's a Ross. So,
Sean, I don't think you're a Ross. I don't think I respect you too much to say you're a Ross.
Thank you. I was kind of an enthusiastic, overconfident, awkward nerd.
Camille is on board. Yeah. Okay, enthusiastic. And also you feel your feelings.
That's
which
true.
Chandler does not do.
Right. It is.
Well, Ross feels his feelings.
Right. Yeah. So that is, I'm saying that one thing that Sean has in common with Ross and not with Chandler is that he feels his feelings, which Chandler does not do.
Right. What are you?
Do I have to choose between the ladies?
No.
I'm kind of a Joey.
I love it.
I'm simple.
I love it. I always, like, Dan and I have had this discussion, and it comes down to that I am a Chandler with Monica tendencies, and he is a Monica with Chandler tendencies.
That seems like a good pairing. Yeah. Yes.
Well, then they're together, right, so it seems to be working.
I haven't
watched the whole series, but I don't think anything terrible happens to them at the end. No, you're good.
No, they never have to go on a break.
Right. Yep. I think I have Rachel qualities as well. Comparing yourself to the Friends, mostly it's just going to make you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, for the most part. Because they're all boiled down to some sort of neurotic like stereotype.
Madagascar is the 14th least happy place on
what?
The planet.
Has least happy
one place? Of the poorest places in the world. The per capita GDP is like about $1,500.
Whoa.
Low life expectancy. Why?
Ye God.
What's going
I'm
on?
I'm guessing limited resources.
Yeah. It was a haven for pirates. Now that makes sense.
Oh.
Yeah.
A haven for pirates.
When we saw that plane movie, instead of saying they were on Bad Guy Island, they should have just put them on Madagascar.
Put them on Madagascar. Maybe that's where Ship will go.
Yeah.
We got to see. If Tony comes back for Ship, cancel whatever prevented you.
Gotcha. Get
book two babysitters so that when one cancels, there's still a spare.
I said babysitting, but I meant parenting.
Either way. My Letterboxd list is... sequels that have the number 2 used in their title as a pun and are about an African prince returning to his dad's kingdom in Africa after living in New York for most of his life. When he returns, it appears his life and dad's life will soon become what they always wanted until a member of the kingdom brings a ritual tradition to attention and has the prince compete in the sacred ritual. The son is afraid of not being what their dad wants them to be. When the son disappoints everyone, the father and mother get in a fight about how they handled the new situation. At the end, the father and son team up and come up with a solution that brings together what both are best at. The two entries are Madagascar Escape to Africa and Coming to America. Same
That's
same
amazing.
Thing. Same plot.
That's
same
awesome.
Plot in
that
the
is
both.
Amazing.
The trailer.
Struts. Check. Flaps. Check. Engine. Check. Coffee maker. Check. Buckle up, boys. Lock.
New York City. Here we come, baby.
Skipper, we may be out of fuel.
Now look, doll.
This might get hairy.
It's more fun when you raise your arms like this.
Deploy!
Whoa. Where are we?
San Diego. This time I'm 40% sure.
I think it's Africa.
How? We offer only happiness and good greetings.
Sorry. Hello, everybody. Your new king is here. Maurice, I think they like me.
Let's dance.
You got it.
Everybody dance now.
Yeah, that's a bummer, man.
Look out. I think Motomoto likes you.
I like them big. I like them chunky. Goodness, girl. You huge.
Who's your friend? Or is that your butt?
Move it! From DreamWorks.
Is this place great or what?
I'd go with or what.
To survive in Africa, they'll have to get in touch with their wild side.
This would have done a very efficient job of convincing me not to go see the movie. And so, good job.
And I bet it also did a convincing job of making small children who saw it before something else go, we have to go see that.
Yeah. Right.
So, that's what trailers are for.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those. Yeah, you're agreed with Sean. It would have come on this winter, click. Like, no thanks, I'm okay.
And it is representative of the film. Like, it's not mis-selling what happens.
It's like
doesn't happen.
No, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's got some real, like, colonizer vibes going on. And when, like, he rolls in, like, I'm lightweight offended when he's, like, the way he talks
to... Oh, yeah, no. I think you can make that medium to heavyweight offended. Yeah.
Which just stacks on top of the African characters played by Ben Stiller, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
David Schwimmer.
I think that it made more sense to cast, I mean... What we're talking about anthropomorphized animals is, like, do they have races?
That was the thing with The Lion King. That was controversial about The Lion King and corrected when they remade The Lion King.
Yes, like, I think it makes the most sense to cast black actors for these roles. But I think that if you're talking about The Lion King, like, it makes less sense to me to cast Alec Baldwin to play Discount Scar than it does to cast Ben Stiller to play the actor lion from the Central Park Zoo.
but in life, not to contradict my own point, in life, isn't Alec Baldwin kind of like Jeremy Irons, if bad?
As far as I know, Jeremy Irons never killed anyone.
Yeah.
Involuntarily manslaughtered anyone, anyway.
You know what's interesting is that penguin is not John Mulaney.
Oh, this is it?
John Mulaney was...
What, 14?
Yeah. No, I guess he was a grown-up and drug addict at that point.
Was he?
What? Yeah, like... writing for SNL, but
it's Tom McGrath, who is the co-director, co-writer of the film, and just happens to sound pretty much exactly like John Mulaney.
Now, did he also do Mitchell's versus Machines?
No,
because the person in Mitchell's versus Machines also is doing their best John Mulaney. I mean, all of them, I think, are imitating a prior source material.
Yes,
more so than. Maybe that guy knew John Mulaney from the SNL writer's room and was imitating him. That's also a possibility.
This guy has made a whole career out of directing animated movies you don't want to see. Shrek the Third, Monsters vs. Aliens, Megamind, Puss in Boots, the first one, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, The Boss Baby, The Other Boss Baby. This is all he does.
The Boss Baby is pretty good. This is my worst film opinion.
Could there possibly be anything else to say?
I don't know.
I think we've stretched this out as much as we possibly can.
We're trying to entertain you here, folks, but
this is outrageous.
We had to watch Madagascar 2. There's only so...
It was short. I was happy when it started wrapping up. Yeah. I was like, okay.
37. I give it a 37. Camila?
40.
Okay.
And I'm going 41, and that's with the bonus points.
Wow.
39 and a third.
Where do you start? With your
so what's 41 minus 5? 36.
Is that what you is that on when you're like,
you know,
I like to give it bonus points.
I just start with vibes.
Yeah.
And then I decide if I'm gonna add or subtract points.
Right on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every now and then I'll be like, well, I know I liked this more than Horton Hears a Who, right? And I'll go look at what.
No, I'll do that.
But I said that now, but I have no memory of Horton Hears a Who. I know we did an episode on it.
I remember being...
And I felt similarly where I was like, okay.
Sure.
Here we are.
Kids, stop going to the movies so we get less of these damn children's films on the list.
Kids,
come
keep
on.
Going to the movies.
I know.
Cute.
Go to the movies.
And then they learn to love movies, and then they're going to make the movies that we're going to watch when we're old and gray.
Hopefully they saw WALL-E and not Madagascar. I'm trying to figure out what we thought of Horton Hears a Who. When was that? There it is. Camila 63, Robin 55, Sean 60. That
so
is
I
a
guess it was significantly better.
Much better movie.
That was also deep quarantine. We might have been like,
just give me color and sound. Anything. To the bingo card, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing's even close.
No. I was so bummed.
It had to be Madagascar Escape to Africa. Not even The Escape to Africa, right, or a title that made sense so we could get longer than four words. No, nothing.
I even went back and like double checked to make sure none of the humans were wearing sports jerseys.
Are we to presume that this lion is a famous, well-known lion
yes,
on the basis of doing poses in a zoo?
I guess.
Name one famous zoo animal.
Shamu?
Yeah.
All right. I guess if Shamu got lost, it would be big news.
Yeah.
Okay, you can handle the truth. Has anyone but me seen Guardians?
No.
I have feelings and thoughts, and I don't know.
It's going to be a while since I see it, so.
I'm not really going to spoil anything. I don't like this movie. This is certainly the first time I've gone thumbs down on two consecutive Marvel movies, because wow, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, was not great either. I actually think that one was a little better than this. Mm. I feel like I'm being too controlling with what I want from my movie-going experience, but this is supposed to be the fun one.
Yeah.
You know, they get heavy all the time, and that's fine. You know, Marvel generally gets less heavy than a lot of DC stuff, but a lot of Marvel stuff has a lot of weight to it. And I'm going to the Guardians for, you know, characters I like, and right, you can make me care about them, but fundamentally having a good time at the movie theater.
Right.
And this isn't that at all. This is heavy, and but this starts with Rocket kind of walking around depressed, singing Creep by Radiohead until he walks into the thing, and Star-Lord is passed out drunk and wakes up and throws some shit at him. Like,
yeah.
I don't want that.
Are we all about is like Gamora's death? Is that
he's fucked up about Gamora's death? But most of the movie is, I mean, Rocket flashing back to his childhood when he was put through these Nazi-esque genetic experiments.
Oh,
come on!
He's a little raccoon.
Right?
I know. and if you are, I talked to another friend who, I mean, I am mildly triggered by animals in peril. I talked to a friend who is severely triggered by animals in peril, who said she was fucked up and crying on and off for 24 hours aww, after Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Aww.
And it's like, I don't want you to do that, yeah, you know? I mean, I hate to be like, the Batman's allowed to try that tone. You're not. Yeah. But the last Guardians content was the Christmas special where they kidnapped Kevin Bacon. That's where we left these characters. So to be like, now it's serious. It's right, like, no.
Yeah, that is kind of messed
no
up.
It has moments. It has things that are great. I still like all of those performers, and they all did a very good job. It's just not what I want at all, and I think it's a miss. I think it's a tonal miss for the
series. I like that
they
have been playing the song Since You've Been Gone by Rainbow on the radio a lot
yes
more. I love that song.
Soundtrack, still great. three for three on the soundtracks. No complaints there. People are being too mean to the mother with Jennifer Lopez. Sometimes yeah, you just need a nice, simple action movie.
What are people expecting from Jennifer Lopez?
I think she was great. Actor.
Right. I mean,
she's a movie star.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I enjoy, like, a J-Lo rom-com. That yeah is a specific genre that I enjoy.
Yeah.
She should have at least one Oscar nomination at this point.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm, and I, you know, she's done very well. Like, I don't recall ever walking away from a J-Lo movie being like, ah, fuck that. Because, you know mm-hmm why? Because I have, like, J-Lo expectations.
Yeah.
Camila, have you ever watched the movie Second Act?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one, that took, like, a left turn. That was like,
yeah, that's a weird one.
It's like, I don't think this is what I thought this was about.
No, I thought everybody thought it was Working Girl, that it was like, no, you're going to have serious feelings about right adoption.
And what's funny is, it was the day after we were in Florida yeah when I watched it, and, like, on our way back home with Kajia.
Oh, my God.
In the hotel room. And I was like, huh?
How dare you? I give bonus points when an action movie has a small plot, when we're not trying to save sure an EMP from taking out all of mainland Europe. There's a couple people she doesn't want to get shot, and she tries to keep them from getting shot in the head. Great.
Yeah.
They landed the plane on Bad Guy Island. They have to get off Bad Guy Island. Thumbs up. All right. I just like a easy action movie. So I liked The Mother a little bit more than most people. And boy, is this Michael J. Fox documentary great.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
So who made it?
It's on Apple.
Is it going to be like a teary situation? Because that's what's been like making me pause.
It's not really. Like, it's certainly heavy, to use Marty McFly's preferred word.
This is heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
But it's kind of uplifting. He just has such a good attitude. Aww. And his family is so supportive of him. And he's so quick to make a Parkinson's joke.
I like that.
It is really something to consider how young he was when he got this diagnosis and how
quickly in advance.
Yeah. Pinpoints some moments in movies from the 90s and on Spin City.
Oh.
Where he's like contorting his arm in a weird way to try to hide.
Oh, wow.
That was just on TV and no one noticed, you know? That is certainly sad, but you know, you're just hanging out with Michael J. Fox for an hour and a half.
Seems charming.
I said this on the radio. He, unfortunately, just walking is a bit of a challenge for him at this point. Mm-hmm. He can, but he really has to focus. So he's with his physical therapist and they're walking down the street. And someone, a passerby, is like, oh, Mr. Fox. And he like turns around to acknowledge and just immediately falls over. And so she goes over to like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, it was nice to meet you. You swept me right off my feet.
Oh, what a charmer.
And it's like,
oh my God. What a charmer.
Do you tell that story later as a good thing or a bad thing? Like, so I made Michael J. Fox fall down.
Right, exactly.
But he was really funny about it.
I mean, I feel like if there were not a documentary crew there, I would be like, no one needs to know this. This will be my little secret.
Right, I met Michael J. Fox.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the end of the story.
He was great.
Oh, and a couple weeks ago, I saw Billy Idol, who was great, and I should have double-checked his guitarist. Billy Idol's guitarist is a big deal rock guitarist, to the point where if you go to the merch stand, the guitarist has his own merchandise as well.
Well, I beg your pardon.
Right.
I gotta find his name. Hold. It's a memorable name, too. His guitarist, Steve Stevens, real name.
My goodness.
is a big deal. And, you know, there's a little bit of the show is kind of given over to him. He does wild solos and takes the stage alone for a while. And towards the end, he starts playing the Top Gun theme. And I'm like, oh, cool. We're playing the Top Gun theme, soaring 80s guitar lick. Great. Then I looked it up later. No, he wrote the Top Gun theme.
Oh, cool.
This is the guy.
Wow.
He's playing his own song, the Top Gun theme.
That's awesome.
So, that's
well played, Steve.
Yeah. Well done, Steve Stevens.
Mr. Stevens.
Camila, you can't handle the truth. Movies, watching them.
Yeah, I've been mostly watching like TV. Okay, so TV-wise, I highly encourage everybody to watch Fatal Attraction series.
What channel is this on?
Paramount.
Oh, okay.
But it's
$5.
I know, okay.
It's so good. Like these are like, and Joshua Jackson, I have a boner for him now, I guess. I don't know what, like.
Pacey? That's Pacey?
Yeah. I would never thought twice about him. Just like, you know, the last few years he's been doing all right. So, so it's they're doing really well with that. I watched a Menendez Menudo docuseries.
What?
Yes. Okay. I had no idea that the two were connected.
How are they connected?
Apparently, the father, Menendez's dad, was like...
Oh, he was like their producer.
He was the president of RCA or something.
Oh, yep. Okay.
But he was also like a super fucking creeper that was offered up some Menudo boys after they signed their deal with them. Yeah.
I want to go home. Yeah. That's horrible.
So, yeah. And so like one of the early members of Menudo, he was abused on the regular basis by the group's manager, the guy who founded the whole thing.
Okay.
But he is kind of like a key to the Menendez brothers being able to be a witness and say, yeah, your dad is like, their dad is like this.
Yeah, it makes their story more credible.
Exactly. He's now just now being able to like speak on all of this.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it's wild. The one movie I did watch finally was Train to Busan. And I know I'm mad late on this. Yeah. God damn.
Wild.
That movie. Mm-hmm. That fucking movie.
The action, the emotion.
I was sobbing at the end. Mm-hmm. I have never sobbed.
I put off watching that movie for a long time because of my sensitivities. Mm-hmm. And for anybody else out there who's like, I don't like horror movies, you like that movie. You will like that movie. Yeah. It's worth watching. It's worth being scared.
Yeah, but even like, I don't know, it was just like the emotional level is what it was. That's what really just like kicked me over. It was like, I was not expecting to feel these kind of feelings for a zombie movie, essentially. And
it's got to be a top five to top three zombie movies.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely, because I think in my, at least for me personally, like the only other two I would equate it to would be like 28 Days Later. Mm-hmm. And World War Z are the other ones that I really...
I've never even seen World War Z. Two.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I can't think of any. Sorry, Pittsburghers. I know you're all like really...
I was going to say...
I know, Night of Living Dead
or
whatever.
I love Night of the Living Dead. And I love Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
Both.
Oh, yeah, and Shaun of the Dead. That's in there too.
I was going to say, I think that Shaun of the Dead is in my top five.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if that's cheating.
No, not at all.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, if you have not seen Train to Busan, like, please go and watch it.
I hadn't seen it until maybe... 3 or 4 years ago, and same. I've seen it like 3 times since then. It's so good.
It's crazy. One, because we don't have cable anymore, but one of like the Samsung TV Plus channels that they have on there, it was playing Night of the Living Dead and then Train to Busan like all day, and that was what finally like was like, you know what? Let's watch this damn movie.
South Korea is just over there like, we've been doing this for a while. Glad you noticed, because we had a big creepy doll on Netflix and one best picture. We got plenty. Come back anytime, Robin.
One thing I wanted to talk about last episode and forgot to was that I finally saw Lars and the Real Girl.
Ah,
which I remember Camila saying, you were like, this is on my short list of perfect movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I had always been hesitant to watch it because I am mentally ill and I wasn't sure how I would feel about the general plot of it. And it works. That movie works.
Right.
I don't know how. Like, I guess I want to say it's, you know, it's just because it has like a kind heart, but also because Ryan Gosling is like really at his best in that. Like, everything that is good about him as a performer is there and is suited to that role and to that film. So anyway, happy surprise there.
Nice.
The other movie I watched this yesterday that I want to recommend to everyone is Rachel, which is from 1968, I think. And it's directed by Paul Newman and starring Joanne Woodward, his wife. And it is a 35-year-old woman in a small town, has never had a boyfriend, and then suddenly she starts humping. And and what happens next, right? And I was enthralled, and I felt alive watching that movie in a way that I haven't in several weeks. So I know that's like making it sound better than it could possibly be, and maybe it's just a meds adjustment, but I've decreased my meds is the adjustment I made.
So really it was working at a deficit.
Wow.
So yeah, anyway, Rachel, it leaves Homebox at the end of the month or whatever. It's Max.
It's not Max yet, it's gonna be Max later.
Max,
but it, officially it's
Max in a week. So at the end of the month it will leave Max.
This is available on HBO Max.
Correct.
But HBO Max will die soon.
In like 3 days.
Yeah. How's Wanda? That's on the Sight and Sound list, so presumably I should watch it eventually.
Wanda is... I enjoyed it very much. It's actually not that dissimilar to Rachel. Rachel's better.
Having your own little thematic film fest here?
I've been watching movies from the 60s. I think Wanda's 1970, but I really have been watching a lot of movies from the 60s for whatever reason. It's like when you watch something that you're like, oh, this was very influential, right?
That's everything on the damn list. I mean, I've given up the idea that I'm going to get through this year.
Yeah.
And I watched Playtime, Jacques Tati.
I've never seen him.
On Sunday night, which is very funny. It's equally pretentious, but funny.
Yeah.
He's wandering around an absurd, hyper-modern Paris, and it's goofy slapstick stuff, but make it art. I liked it a lot. A number of these Sight and Sound movies I've liked a lot. Why don't any of them have stories? Does Wanda have a story?
No, I mean, well, a very little bit of a story.
Why?
It is mostly this woman's internal life.
What is it with this list and all of them being like, this is influential and a triumph of form, instead of I went to a movie and saw a story?
I think the
about
point,
vibes, man.
Isn't that the point of the list?
Sights and Sounds poll,
it's like the British Film Institute runs it, right?
I think so.
So some kind of film institute runs it, and they survey notable critics and filmmakers from around the world. And they're meant to all give a list of 10 movies that they think are the most important That's movies, where it is. Right? More so than the best movies.
And none of these people want shit to happen in their movies?
No, these filmmakers. Is like,
isn't
yes.
That's my understanding. Yeah. I might be wrong. I always thought that it was meant to be, this is like the 100 movies that made movies the way they are, more so than the 100 yeah. best movies.
Mm. I suppose.
That's my thinking about their philosophy, but I might be wrong. I think that that's why the list looks that way.
I'm going to keep going, but man, do I want, you know.
Stop.
No, Playtime is very good. I watch Beau Travail from the list. That's very, very
Never
good.
Watched
there's
that.
There's a number of them are great. It's just, it's always homework.
Yeah.
It's always, even when it's fun yeah. learning. It's never, you know, it's never the experience you just described with Rochelle or whatever
Rachel,
it was.
Rachel. She's just a Rachel. It's set in America.
Is that where they got the name? Probably.
What?
Rochelle, the Seinfeld movie.
Rochelle, huh? A young girl's strange erotic journey from Milan to Minsk.
Is probably referencing Rachel.
I would have said Rochelle. I wonder if this is a regionalism.
Rochelle?
Yes.
Rochelle.
We're getting into tomato.
Yes.
We got nothing to say
Rochelle,
around here.
Rochelle, Raquel, Requel, oh well. Speaking of Paul Newman.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet, but have you watched that documentary?
So I watched the beginning of it, uh-huh. and when it first came out, I watched I think it's in episodes.
Oh, okay.
When it first came out, I started watching it.
Okay.
And I never finished it. Because this is Paul Newman and Joan Woodward, Ethan Hawke does an intro
right.
to the movie, which I watched after, and the intro to the movie is so great. I was like, God, I really need to go back and finish that documentary. Because he just is such a fangirl.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's cute is that he hadn't seen this movie before he made the documentary.
Okay.
And he talks about, when I watched this movie for the documentary, I called my mom and I was like, Mom, you got to watch this.
I love him.
Which is, I know. Isn't that so cute? He's such a fangirl. I just love it.
That's great.
Here's a pre-review. Mm. I'm going to go see Little Mermaid in a few hours.
All right. You know what? Just to put it out there, guys, I am happy for everybody where this Little Mermaid is concerned. I don't care. Several people have invited me to go see this movie expecting me to care. I don't care.
You were
I was
12,
grown.
Right? You were like 12 when that came out.
I don't know.
So
when did it come out?
89.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, it was like right before I got into high school. So
yeah.
I didn't.
You were way too cool to be caring about the Little Mermaid.
Yeah. I never got into it. I never was like a Disney princess at any stage. And
well, because
so,
you were at the age before the Renaissance.
Right. Yeah. So. It was like I was after like Cinderella and all that jazz. And then like mm-hmm. right in between. Mm-hmm. And then
you were in the weird Black Cauldron
right.
era.
Exactly.
Aristocats.
So, but yes, I mean, I hope it does well. I hope people experience the experience they want to experience. Where this is
yeah.
concerned.
I'm still looking forward to it as a night at the movies.
Yeah.
More than anything. It is 135 minutes
Are
long.
You kidding me?
The original was about 87.
I cannot believe it.
What other 50 minutes of story did you find in there? Wait. She's in the water. She likes the humans. Said, oh, I'll give you some legs. You just give everybody. Oh, she goes up there. Something. They get married. What else can happen?
Did they add like 15 songs? Like, maybe that's it. There's more elaborate song numbers and dance numbers and stuff.
I mean, they always add a couple songs, but even let's say you added three, which they probably didn't even get. Okay, 14 more minutes, maybe?
Yeah, that's shocking. I don't understand it.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Also,
probably a lot of long, like lingering, yeah. wide shots undersea. And
while I was editing the Romeo plus Juliet episode, I came to the horrible realization that The Lion King 2019 is the highest grossing Shakespeare adaptation.
Yeah, that's true.
And I had to text Sean and Camila and be like, I have bad news.
That's so, do Lion King people count, are like, yes, we give credit to, this is an actual adaptation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I don't think they ever were like, it's similar to Hamlet. I think they were like, we made a movie about Hamlet. Right?
Gotcha. So,
I mean, it's not a one-to-one.
No.
It's just that is what, a ninth highest grossing film of all time?
Ugh.
And none of Avatar, the other Avatar, Endgame, Titanic, Force Awakens, Infinity War, Spider-Man No Way Home, or Jurassic World are direct Shakespeare adaptations.
I would say that Spider-Man No Way Home is really a play on The Tempest.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm making things up.
Isn't all Star Wars kind of? No. There's got to be some Shakespeare in one of those avatars. We weren't paying attention to the plot.
There's not enough plot for there to be Shakespeare.
All right. We've said enough.
Okay. Right,
yeah. If you're still here, thank you.
I know it. We've done our best.
The true believers. Really? These are the true fans.
Thank you so much.
Listening to the entire Madagascar 2 episode.
Oh, boy.
Well,
I'd be interested to see what the numbers are on this one.
Maybe it will bounce back next week when we talk about Scary Movie 4.
Veto.
Exercise my veto, man.
All
Yay!
Right.
Camille, I love you.
You know, a couple of those, most of them are good.
I would imagine they're all the same, though. Like, you see one, like, what?
Is this the one that mixed it up a little bit? At a certain point, they took it away from the Wayans and handed it to what's-his-name who did Airplane.
Really?
And all kinds of Airplane-type shtick showed up.
Oh, my goodness. Boy.
Like, Leslie Nielsen's in the one I'm talking about.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Wow.
But whether or not that is the one in question. No, yeah, this is the one with Leslie Nielsen, okay. Basically.
All the more happy to have it been vetoed.
So, yeah, this isn't...
As much as I'm sure that Regina Hall and Amanda Faris are in there, I'm sure there are funny parts.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah. I remember this one. It's funny. I would call this, you know, a risky veto because Scary Movie 4 was going to have a baseline of amusement. Will that be true of The Green Hornet?
Is that Ryan Reynolds?
No, that's The Green Lantern.
Oh, this is Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very forgotten attempt.
I think that I've seen this somewhat like within the last few years, and really? I still have no memory of it.
Green Hornet.
Seth Rogen.
Yep.
Jay Chou, Cameron Diaz, Christoph Waltz.
Oh no. Not Cameron Diaz, not Charlize Theron.
I do love Cameron Diaz also. I mean, not as much as Charlize Theron, but who
I
does?
I hate Cameron Diaz.
Okay, let's talk about it next week.
All right.
Yep.
We'll have it out when we revisit.
Because that's a fight I've had with several people.
2011's The Green Hornet. I mean, I remember seeing this in the theater to review it and have not given it a thought since then.
Right. It's very forgettable.
It's less than 2 hours?
Okay.
I'm looking at 159.
By 1 minute?
Hey, it's shorter than The Little Mermaid.
This is by Michel Gondry?
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess this is the next thing fancy rent to pay.
The next thing he did after Be Kind Rewind.
That's great.
Love when they slum it.
Let's see. Sure. What the hell? Green Hornet. Is the Green Hornet a comic book or was it just a TV show?
Just a TV show. I don't know.
Well, we'll find out this time 2 weeks from now. Before we get to that, November 7th of 2008, Madagascar 2, entertaining somebody, presumably. What was the number one song in America?
Was it No One by Alicia Keys?
It was not. Mm. How close? No, that was like a...
Because wasn't this like the same time as I Am Legend?
I think so.
I'm still reeling from you insulting Alicia Keys, Sean.
I still feel right. I haven't re-listened to the song, but whenever I think about the song, I'm like, no, I'm right.
Okay, I'm talking about what else did I guess that week? Was it Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis?
No.
Katy Perry?
No.
Rihanna?
No. This.
T-Pain.
No. This artist was just taking the number one spot from himself all fall. Had a string of hits. No, had a surprisingly long, but you're close in that.
Chris Brown.
It's a surprisingly long string of hits for someone that, like, really hasn't made hits in a long time.
Usher? Chris Brown?
No. We said Rihanna. Rihanna was featuring on, not this song, but...
T.I.
Yes.
Live Your Life?
The song we're looking for gave the number one spot over to Live Your Life.
Okay.
But
Whatever You Like?
Correct.
Okay. That's like one of my favorite songs
Whatever
of all
like.
Time.
You mean Nicole Scherzinger version?
No.
I think this is just T.I. most. There might be a remix. But
there is, but I just assumed it was her song. With him featured.
No, it's T.I.'s song.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it must have switched, because the one I listened to was her song with him featured.
Oh, okay. No, the one that I am familiar with, I'm pretty sure, is just him with like backup singers.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's go to September. Whatever You Like was number one for 3 weeks. Pink had a 1 week number one. Whatever You Like took it again. Gave it over to Live Your Life, T.I. featuring Rihanna. Womanizer by Britney Spears snuck in for 1 week. Then 2 more weeks of Whatever You Like. Then 4 more weeks of Live Your Life.
Wow.
1 week of Single Ladies and back to Live Your Life.
Just 1 week of Single Ladies? I
know, that doesn't make sense.
I think
sense.
She took more in early 2009. But like,
oh, okay.
There was 4 months of a year where we were just all listening to T.I. nonstop. I remember that as well as I remember mean, Madagascar.
He's not a good dude, but he knew how to put
Oh, absolutely.
I guess.
Yeah. And later, not. Number one.